And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is prophetic power in the Word of God. And, you know, it's so interesting to me that God warned us about things that would occur in the last days, including a financial system of total control over human beings. And yet, a lot of people don't believe the Bible. A lot of people don't believe the prophecies in the Scriptures. And those who do just take things out of context. And it seems like all they're interested in is Israel and promoting Zionism, and there's so much more to prophecy. For example, that Revelation 13 matter about the beast who comes up out of the sea, then a second beast comes up out of the earth, and forcing everyone on earth to worship the first beast, the dragon, Satan. And then there's the financial system. So tight, so ironclad that no man may buy or sell, save he, that is, unless you have the mark or the name or the number of the beast. I want to talk to you today about the economic downfall of America. This is part two. Last week, we began this series, a two-part series, and already I've got a lot of mail from people, email. People were very interested, let's just say. Some people were upset at part one of the economic downfall of America. I want to get into it deeper with you today. I did reveal some things to you, some things that are going on that are in the news. I mentioned to you that General Motors has lost $39 billion. Even the BBC, the British Broadcasting Corporation, reported that for a mortgage foreclosure wave has swept America. More evictions, more foreclosures of mortgages and homes than ever before in our history. It seems that America is in big, big trouble. Our dollar continues to slide versus the other world currencies, the yen, the won, the euro, the peso even, the Canadian dollar. Our dollar goes down, down, down. And it seems that the Fed Reserve under Mr. Ben Bernanke, the Jewish Zionist, is at a loss as to what to do, but are they? I saw another article just this week. And this is from The Guardian Unlimited, The Guardian newspaper of Great Britain and London. You know, I have to go overseas to read newspapers in Paris, Le Figaro and Le Monde. I have to go to England to read the London Times and the London Guardian to find out what's going on in America. And folks, I watch Bloomberg News, Fox, a business channel now. I've been watching that recently to see what they were saying. I go online and keep up with all of the various financial journals and so forth that are online. And yet, why is it that I have to go overseas to find out about what's going on in America? It seems that we are being lied to constantly about the state of financial affairs. So I want to give you the second half of my report today on the economic downfall of America. In the Guardian newspaper, there was this last week a feature story entitled Wall Street Takes World on a White Knuckle Ride. It's almost as if you're at a carnival or one of these amusement parks and you're on one of these incredible roller coasters. And it says jitters have struck again. In other words, people are fearful. They're being taken on a white knuckle ride. We seem to be back on the roller coaster, says The Guardian. And by the way, they were quoting another London newspaper, The Observer, of Sunday, November 4, 2007. It seems every day there's a new clutch of victims on Wall Street, says this newspaper from overseas. With oil prices at a record high, threatening to go above $100 a barrel, and gold possibly reaching up to the 850 range, and a shakedown going on in the mortgage industry in America, and it appears, the news is, that the world's financial giants, many of American companies, Citibank and others, have been gambling with the people's money through hedge funds. And the Observer newspaper says this is going to hit consumers and businesses in America where it really hurts, in their pocketbooks. Well, okay. That's what they're all telling you. Foreclosures, white knuckle rides, jitters, fear, panic, gold shooting up, oil shooting up. They're worried about commodities, a lot of foods, grains, corn. We're already seeing those, aren't we, at the food store? Everything from coffee to milk to bread. All the staples are going up and are going to go up some more. The gasoline pump, of course, we're paying more. Heating oil, you better believe it. What's really going on? First of all, I want you to understand something, friends. We're in a certain stage of a great Ponzi scheme. A Ponzi scheme. That's what it's all about. You know, there's just a shaking out by the rich in their ongoing war against the middle class and the poor that occurs every so often. Now, I've seen this several times just over the last 6 or 7 years. You know, we saw the NASDAQ crash. The NASDAQ, all these high-tech stocks kept going up, the internet and high-tech stocks, computers and so forth, kept going up, up, up. And they told us why the gravy train will last forever. And of course, when everyone was sufficiently greedy enough to get into the NASDAQ stock market and say, hey, look, I'm making money hand over fist. Everybody and his brother got him a little, you know, stock market software package and got on their notebook computer at home and so forth. And while a lot of people quit their jobs, they said, I'm making so much money from NASDAQ on the stock market. Why, this can't go wrong. This is like taking money from a baby. Yes, it was. Turned out they were the babies. And the Wall Street manipulators took all their money. Because some stocks that were selling for $600, $700 a share, within 30 days suddenly were selling for 50 cents a share. And most of those, they still haven't recovered. NASDAQ still isn't even half of what it was at one time during the glory days of around 5,000 on the NASDAQ average. Now, they've done the same thing. They did the same thing in gold. Don't you remember, dear friends? At the end of the decade of the 70s, gold started moving upward, and finally it got up to around $875 on an intraday plane. $875 for gold, but wait, that's over 30 years ago or so, 25 to 30 years. I don't have the exact, I could give it to you, but 2 or 3 decades ago, gold went up to $800-something an ounce, and they said, you know what? Keep buying it because it's going to go to 5,000. Some people even said gold could go to $100,000 an ounce, but at the time, I wrote a book. A lot of people don't know that I've been writing books for a long time. I wrote a book at that time when gold was way up there, around $800 an ounce. I wrote a book, and it was called Gold's Crash, The Soviet Connection. I wrote a whole book, and I warned people gold was going to crash. And, you know, I sent the book out to several publishers, and they were very interested in it, but A lot of them came back and said, you know, I just can't believe this is really going to happen. Gold's already up to $800 and over an ounce, and you're saying within 2 years it'll be back down to around $400. It's going to halve in price. Well, that's ridiculous, Mr. Mars. Could you rewrite your book and say, no, instead of 800, it'll probably go down to 700? Then we could publish your book. Otherwise, why, it's preposterous. It's absurd. A commodity like gold can't go up to $800 an ounce and then be half that price within a year or two. Well, I said, I can't change what my book says. That's what's going to happen. And you know what, friends? I still have the manuscript of that book in my closet. I did have one scholarly publisher that wanted to publish the book. They liked the book very much, but they didn't have a real market. They would have just sent it out to a few libraries, and it wouldn't have been read very much. And I was trying to warn people. I was trying to help people, not make money on the book. And I wanted it to get out as many people as possible. Because I had so many friends that were just spending money hand over fist buying gold. And they thought they had a sure thing. There is no sure thing except heaven and hell. Ben Franklin, of course, once said the only two sure things are taxes and death. But, of course, there's a few other things. After death, then comes judgment. Ben Franklin didn't get that far. He should have, but he didn't. The Ponzi scheme. What is the Ponzi scheme? Here's what it is. They suck you in. You can't go wrong, and then suddenly everything is wrong. It's all incorrect. You miscalculated. They helped you along the way. They raised your greed level. They caused you to believe that you were going to get rich, and when you want to get rich, friends, that's when you become poor. And I believe that is a spiritual principle. Did you hear just what I said? When you want to be rich in the things of the world is when you're the poorest. Even the book of Revelation tells us that. About the people who dress up so fine and so nice in their rich clothes. And God says, well, you don't have on nice clothes at all. You're wearing filthy rags and don't even know it. The Bible talks about the seven letters that God wrote. The angel of the Lord wrote to the seven churches. One of them was the church at Laodicea. It was the rich church. They were so rich, they really didn't need God. And in essence, and I would like you to read it to yourself because it's in the first four chapters of the Bible there in Revelation, that is, Revelations 1 through 4, which is a fantastic beginning of Revelation. God says, you think you're rich, and you're in dirty, filthy rags. You're poor, you're poverty stricken, and you don't even know it. Isn't that really America? Everything you've got is really all tied up in a mortgage, in debts, in credit card debt, and so forth. But you're living high on the hog, as we used to say in East Texas. It's a Ponzi scheme. Right now, we're having gold go up. And a lot of people are buying gold. And you know, if you get out at the right time, then okay, maybe you will have made some money from gold. I'm not objecting. Now, let me just tell you about this. I don't own any stocks. I don't own any gold. So I'm free to tell you what I really believe. It's liberating because I don't have anything at interest here except the truth. And now I have friends. I have some friends that sell gold. I mean, I may have some friends I don't know that are stock market brokers. I'm not sure in my family, you know. But it doesn't matter what they do. I always tell the truth. The Ponzi scheme. Watch out being sucked in. Now, a lot of people seem to have it all figured out. They tell you, well, America has borrowed and borrowed and borrowed, and now we've got to pay the piper. Not necessarily. Not if the piper doesn't ask for the money just yet. And if the piper can print more money, well, he may never ask you for it, but I believe he will. I believe that's fated. He will ask you for the money, but right now, he may be very happy to just keep the printing presses flowing. You say, well, how does that work, Tex? A country cannot just go and print as much currency as it wants. Yes, it can. And the Fed Reserve can keep creating money out of thin air by various procedures in terms of raising and lowering interest rates and making more, with the fractional reserve system, making more money reserves available to the banking system. Yes, they can create money they don't even have out of thin air. You say, but someday everything's got to be balanced. No, it doesn't. This is one thing that nobody seems to understand now. You know, many years ago when I went to college and got my bachelor's degree, I took a course called Economics 101. And I read probably the best-selling textbook at the time, and I read it 5 or 6 times. I was very interested in the subject. It was written by a professor, I believe he was from Harvard or Princeton, Paul Samuelson. And he purported to tell us how the world worked, Economics 101. But when I looked at the world, I realized it didn't work like that at all. It works the way the men who print the money want it to work, and that's the only way it works in terms of the economy. Now, in terms of spiritual things, these men who print all the money are idiots. They're ignorant. They're willingly ignorant, scornfully so. And they're in great trouble because of that. But in terms of finances, they know exactly what they're doing. And the books never have to be balanced. Someone asked me one time, I made the statement that America has basically sold off or got rid of all of its gold practically. There's no gold at Fort Knox. Somebody came back and said, well, Tex, that has to be not true because we have to have gold. Our currency is based on gold. No, it wasn't. And finally, Richard Nixon, as president, basically admitted that. It's not based on anything. And I think Ron Paul, bless his heart, if he becomes president, and I hope that he does, he'll find out you can't go back to the gold standard. There is no standard. Hitler made his country a very rich country in a short period of time by simply cutting off the equivalent of the Fed Reserve, because the Fed Reserve is in every country around the world. They all have their central banks, and they all report to the International Bank of Settlements in Basel, Switzerland. But Hitler cut them off and just said, we're going to print our own money. How much are we going to print? Well, whatever we need. And the bankers went nuts. They hated Hitler so much. Now, obviously, I'm not a big fan of Hitler, but he sure knew how to run an economy. Nobody's ever accused him of being an idiot as far as running the economy. They told Lincoln, you're now going to be beholden as American president because you're going to have to hawk America to the Rothschild interest in the banks. To run your war fighting the South, you're going to have to bow at the altar of the bankers. But you know what Lincoln did? He just started printing money based on the U.S. Treasury. He said, we're going to print our own money. We don't need the bankers. Well, that's why he died. They killed him. Of course, he proved that he could fund an incredible civil war of gargantuan proportions simply by printing money. And that's what Hitler proved. I remember as a young man, our dollar bills were all, had printed right on them, silver certificate. Redeemable in silver. Supposedly, you could take it at a federal bank, international bank, your dollar bills and say, I want my money in silver, and they'd have to give it to you because it says right there, on demand, the bearer will be given silver. Silver certificates. That's all there was. Then suddenly they started printing something called Federal Reserve notes. I thought that was quite interesting. They switched. But right before he was killed, President Kennedy began to print something based just on U.S. Treasury principles. Huh. Instead of the Federal Reserve notes, they were based on the U.S. Treasury. on the good reputation of the U.S. Treasury. In other words, he said, I don't need the Fed Reserve approval. I can print my own money for America. After all, the Constitution says that we print and we coin our own money. Actually just says, you know, coinage, actually. Doesn't even really talk about printing, but the principle is there. But they don't want you to print their own money. That's why they say Federal Reserve notes, FRNs. It's a Ponzi scheme, and they will print as much as they need whenever they need it, and they will ship it wherever they want. There was a man named Major Jordan right after World War II and right after the Korean War who found out some amazing things. For one thing, he found that we were shipping the atomic bomb to Russia. We gave the atomic bomb to Russia. Major Jordan wrote a book about it. It was called Major Jordan's Journal. But then he found out also we shipped printing plates to Russia so that they could print dollar bills. To be precise, $20 bills. Did you know that we gave Boris Yeltsin printing plates so that printing houses in Russia could print up $20 bills, billions of them? Well, didn't that debase our currency? After all, the more dollars, the more money that you print, the less each one is worth. No, it didn't debase anything. Nobody even knew about it. Well, it was on the front cover of New York Magazine. But who reads New York Magazine? A Ponzi scheme. Now, first of all, I want to tell you something, because right now, we live in a society that is basically a consumption society, conspicuous consumption society. And the young people of America are the party generation. They don't want to work very hard. They don't want to work like their dads and their grandfathers did, or their moms and their grandmoms, or their aunts and their uncles. And there's millions of young people today that are spending, and they're just what I call the white slacker generation. Now, there's black people doing the same thing in the ghettos, living on drugs, living on robbery and thuggery, burglaries, and welfare payments to their mothers for illegitimate children and so on. So we have the black slackers and the white slackers. It's an equal opportunity generation. Now, I'm not pointing the finger at every young person today, so you young people out there don't get mad at me, but you know I'm telling you the truth. If you're not a slacker, well, God bless you. But this is the slacker generation. They're slackers. They don't want to work for anything. They don't want to study. I recently read articles in Time and Newsweek. It was very interesting. They said, back in the old days, people went to college for 4 years to get a four-year college degree. Well, that made sense. Let me get this again. Now, you know, I'm just click, 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 computing. You know, compute this now in your little brains. Go to college 4 years to get a four-year degree. Well, it makes sense. The only problem, things have changed somehow over the last 10 or 15 years, says Time and Newsweek magazine. Now it takes 7 years for the average youngster in college to get a four-year degree. Did something just go crank? Was there a gear that got loose in your brain? When I read that, I'd already started to know that because I saw so many people slacking. They would go to college a semester and then they would slack for one. Then they would take only 6 hours. The next time they would take 12 and then 15 and fail 6 hours. And there's some kids out there that have been going to school for 10 or 12 or 15 years to get a four-year degree. It's like constant Animal House fraternity. Now, a lot of these people are Peter Pans. The rising generation has never grown up. Some of it may be drugs that have addled their brains. But I know of many young people, they say to me, why should I work? When my grandparents die, I'm going to get all their money. They worked hard, now I'm going to get their riches. Wow. Oh, yeah, they've been saving all their lives, and I'm going to get it, they say. Wealth transfer extends this consumption society. George Bush said something very interesting. He said it several times, and it makes me mad, but unfortunately, it's true. He said the Mexican aliens are coming into America to take jobs that Americans don't want to do. And you know what? That's true. To a great extent, it's true. And the Ukrainians and the Russians and the Pakistanis and the Chinese and the Indonesians and all, and the Romanians are all coming over here. But after a while, it gets to where they're taking the jobs that Americans, white and black, do want to do. But it's too late. See, at first, these lowly jobs were too low for them. Why? I don't want to work for $6, $7, $8, $10 an hour. I'd rather be a slacker. I'd rather be a beach bum. I'd rather wait and get it in an inheritance. I'd rather lie on my resume and claim that I have college credits that I don't have. And that's what studies have shown. Up to 60 to 70% of youth today lie on their resumes. Interview somebody for a job. Do you have any college? Yes, sir. I graduated from a four-year institution. Better check. 60 to 70%, depending on the study, lie about their credentials. Do you have experience in this field? Oh, yes, I worked 8 years at company A, 5 years at company B. Liar, they didn't work anywhere. They're slackers. Peter Pan. What does that mean to be a Peter Pan? It means you don't want to grow up. Michael Jackson says, I'm proud to be a Peter Pan. I love little boys, and I want to be a little boy forever. That's why we have men who are not men, who marry girls who are not girls, or at least not women. And the men don't want to work and go out and get a job. They're Peter Pans. Now, if I wrote books in that area, I'd like to write about exposing Peter Pan. They're everywhere. Men who don't want to be men. They don't even want to date girls because they might have to pay for the date, so they just hang out. Yeah, I'm going to go see Kimberly, all right, but we're just going to hang out. Why don't you ask her out for a date? No, we just hang out. They're too lazy to ask for a date. Plus, they don't have to pay for it if they don't ask her out. They don't want to work for anything. They want to inherit it. And you know what? They're getting it. From what I read, the dying generation, that's the Tex Mars of this world, and maybe you're one of those, the dying generation, we're all going to die someday. The slacker generation is going to be in the chips because there are trillions of dollars that are going to be transferred to the slackers. What are they going to do with this money as slackers? They're going to blow it. The people out there with their Ponzi schemes on Wall Street are going to say, they're going to be licking their lips, slamming their chops and say, look at all these stupid young people with their lies on their resumes. They never wanted to work. They've been slackers. They're beach bums. They're the party generation. And now they got all this money for me to steal, to defraud them. Con men go to work. When I say con men, I mean the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations. I don't just mean the scam artists from Nigeria and so forth. Wealth transfer, it goes from the older generation to the slacker rising generation and then into the pockets of the super rich. America is in a handbasket headed for hell. You know it's true, friends. It's plain true. And we older people, many of us are what I call enablers. We're enabling the youth of America to be sloppy, dirty, Peter Pan slackers. And if you can find some young kids that are not, well, praise God for them. Well, we're going to have to take a little break here. When we come back, we're going to look at this Ponzi scheme and see how it's all going to work out for Americans, because 60 million more foreigners are coming here. Jobs are going to be outsourced. And the foreigners, the rich, are buying up American resources at bargain basement prices, from toll roads to ports to maybe your home. This is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power Prophecy. I'll be right back after this brief message. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again. You know, the Bilderberg Group has been around since 1954. They first met in Holland. The Bilderbergs, of course, 125 to 175 of the richest people in the world from Europe and the United States, a few from Asia. They're the ones who chose the unknown governor of Arkansas, Bill Clinton, to be president of the United States. Hillary Rodham Clinton has been to one of their meetings, and she evidently made a pretty big splash there, so much so that the Rockefellers are supporting her for president now, and so is Rupert Murdoch of Fox Network. Well, I know Rupert Murdoch is supposed to be a neocon Zionist Republican, but there are no such things as Republicans and Democrats anymore. You know, that all ended a long time ago. There are no Republicans and Democrats at all. There's no such thing as two major political parties, so that's just the way things are. You know, a man named Daniel Estulin, E-S-T-U-L-I-N, Daniel Estulin, a reporter from Canada, has written an incredible book. It's called The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. Now, I must tell you, for many years, I've wanted a good book on the Bilderbergs, and I decided that I had to write it myself, because I couldn't find any that really told the entire story of the Bilderbergers, the incredible story of the elite who, since 1954, have met in secret once a year and decided what our future would be from behind their closed doors. Well, now we have Daniel Estulin, who's written this incredible book, and his publisher was kind enough to send me a sample or review copy of it. It's 340 pages in length. It's got an index, of course. And wow, I read this book, and it's the first book to truly tell the story about the Bilderbergers scam. And it'll take you all the way back, even before the Bilderbergers, to the Bolsheviks and how they were able to take over Russia. The people that I call the Synagogue of Satan. All kinds of pictures in here, illustrations. I mean, you'll see the rich of the world as they meet for their Bilderberg meetings. And Daniel Estulin has been researching this, these Bilderberger elite, for many years. And now the true story of the Bilderberg group. Incredible. How he was able to put this book together, I don't know. But Daniel Estulin has done a terrific job. I hope to have him as a guest on this radio show. Meanwhile, I want you to have this book, 340 power-packed pages, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group by Daniel Estulin. Just ask for the Bilderberg book. The Bilderberg book. We'll know what you're talking about. And the price is $25. Please add $4 shipping and handling. $29 for the book, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group. Just ask for the Bilderberg Group or the Bilderberg book, and we'll have it right on its way to you. This is an international bestseller. At least I believe it's going to be. I understand it's been published in 24 languages. A lot of people are finding out about the Bilderbergers. Of course, there are other groups, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Order of Skull and Bones. And then there's the Vatican groups, the Knights of Malta, the Jesuits, and so forth. All of these need to be exposed. And now Daniel Estulin has done so with the Bilderberger group. And he's got in there and also looked at the Council on Foreign Relations and a number of other groups. It's a very worthy book, and I recommend it to you, The Bilderberg Group. Here's how to get your copy for $29 now. That's shipping postpaid, $29 total. Use your charge card. Call us 1-800, toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or send $29 and say, "Tex, send me The Bilderberg Group book," and I'll send it right out to you. We work very fast here. You know, a lot of people say, well, allow 4 to 6 weeks for shipment. Baloney! We're going to send this book out to you within about 2 days. We get your order in, we process it, and unless it's the weekend, wow, we're going to get it out for you. And many times our people work late to process orders. And sometimes if the postman's already left our place here and he leaves, you know, sometimes half his pickup truck full of stuff, if he's already left, well, we'll send an extra messenger to the post office on Friday afternoon to make sure it gets going over the weekend to you. We move on things here. Why? When you order something, why would you want it? Why should you have to wait so long? Now, I must tell you, sometimes the post office is not quite as efficient as we are here at Power of Prophecy. And some people have called us and say, well, it's been 5 days, 4 or 5 days since I ordered that. Well, you know, the post office sometimes is a little slow, or UPS or whatever we send it, and they're a little slower than we are sometime, and we're sorry about that. But I can tell you this much, we will get it out within 2 days or so. Every once in a while, we have a book that we sell so many of so fast, we don't get enough copies in, we have to reorder it. Now, that's when that happens, we usually send you a quick notice and say, you know, you can expect it at a certain time. But that's very, very rare. That's one out of 50 books or one out of 100 books. So we have this book right now, and we'll get it right out to you. The Bilderberg Group by Daniel S. Dellen. Our address is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the USA. By the way, that phone number works that I gave you, 1-800-234-9673. It works in the United States and Canada. If you're overseas, you can call us on our regular line, and that is area code 512-263-9780. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the economic downfall of America. Now, I'd like to give you, dear friends, a little outline of what is to come. Now, first of all, many people are telling you we're going into the Great Depression right now. Gold booming in price. Oil prices going through the moon. The stock market has been having its problems. It's down 6 or 7% from its high, the Dow Jones average. Everything looks bad. Everything looks bleak. Everything looks dark. Well, don't believe it. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to step out on a limb. The stock market is not going to collapse entirely. The mortgage industry is going to be turned around. The banking industry is not going to go flop over into the sea and crash. Things are not so bleak. The sun will rise very soon, and the economy will be poking along just randy-dandy. You say, Tex, that's not what everybody else is saying. Well, I don't care what everybody else is saying. I'm telling you the way it's going to be. But why, you say? Isn't it true you said before that eventually they're going to crash everything? I did. But you see, there's a reason why they're going to crash everything. Yes, one of the reasons is to take what you have. And if you invest in the stock market and gold, believe me, they can engineer a crash of the gold price. And they probably will. They've been sucking a lot of people in. I mean, let's face it, gold has doubled in price, has it not? It was, what, swinging around $400 just a few years ago? Now it's up to the 800 range. Watch out. You say, oh, they don't control the gold markets. They control the stock market and all the others, but they don't control the gold market. I just heard that on Genesis Network, or I just heard that on some other network. Well, I don't care what you've heard, friends. They control all the markets of the world. The Bible makes very clear, in fact, that the gold and the silver markets and the precious gems markets are all controlled by the elite. That's in the Bible. So don't tell me they don't control one market or another. They have to have a reason for crashing. And that reason is not here yet. You know, back when, at the turn of the century, everybody thought all the computers were going to crash. Remember that? Everybody was warning everybody else. Now, I'm always leery about such things. When everybody believes a certain thing, you can believe that it's not going to happen. May Day didn't occur at the turn of the century, the new millennium. A lot of people thought it was going to crash. None of the computers would work. The utilities would all go out. We would have no electric power. Many people would freeze to death. There would be no food. And of course, Even the government was telling us this could happen. 2000 crash of the whole world. But I remember telling you on the radio it would not happen. Now, I like to be prepared. And we sell here a water system to clean your water. We do. It's a wonderful thing to have clean water. You saw what happened in New Orleans. There's earthquakes all the time. There's all kind of natural disasters. And, you know, your water system could fail. It's possible terrorists could put some kind of a biochemical poison in your water system and you don't have any good water to drink. It's good to have a water cleaning filtration system that we offer here at the ministry. We also sold dry foods. It's good to have some dry food. I still recommend it. I really think you ought to have some canned food, some dry food, because emergencies can occur at any time. Tornadoes, floods, national breakdowns. But what I said back then in the year 2000 was, the government cannot afford to turn off the TV. That's right. TV, you see, is the great Wizard of Oz programming tool. And I told you that if the electric power went off, it would be back up within days. 2 weeks at the most. I remember giving that very talk to you at the Disaster Preparedness Expo in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. And I mentioned it here on the radio. They cannot afford to stop the poison going into people's minds. Do you realize what would happen if the electric power goes off for just a couple of weeks? People will suddenly wake up without Wizard of Oz programming going in their minds 24 hours a day from television and radio. They'll suddenly start thinking for themselves. What happens then? People will understand we've been scammed. The whole world system is a hoax. And then it's going to fall. They can't allow that. They've got to keep their daily poison going into your mind through television. That's why the electric power system is not going to fail except in little spotty areas. You know, one area here for a few weeks or a few days, an area here, something when storms hit or whatever. Likewise, right now, do you realize what good they're doing with a good economy? Now, I'm not saying everybody's prospering. But if they broke the economy and it crashed, you know what? Americans are going to rise up and say, get these illegal aliens out of our country. We don't want them here anymore. They're taking our jobs. See, as long as Mr. Joe has a job, he doesn't worry about Mr. Gomez from Mexico taking a job next door. But when Mr. Joe is out of work, he gets a little bit mad at Mr. Gomez from Guadalajara having his job. I want to explain this to you again, dear friends. Right now, they're having their way. We have, according to Bear Stearns 3 years ago, Bear Stearns did a survey, a research report. They found that there were up to 30 million illegal aliens in America. The government admits 12 million, but they've never counted them. Many people are now saying there may right now be as many as 40 million foreigners, illegal aliens in America. And they say that by the year 2010, there could be another 15 or 20 million. It's moving so fast. Our borders are open. They're like a big sieve. And we're getting these aliens coming in from everywhere. And that's what the elite want. They want to bring us down and they want to make America a third world nation. But if the economy turns sour in America, the American people will demand the Anglos go home. They'll say, we can't support you anymore. We can't pay for your medical care, for your welfare. We can't give you our jobs anymore. Go home. Now, the economy will crash eventually, but not now. Right now, they've got their plan for the AMRO. They've got their plan for the North American Union in the year 2010, and they don't want to mess up their plans. They're going to get what they want if they just keep the system going. Feed the beast for a few more years, and then let it eat the people. Did you hear what I just said? Feed the beast for several more years, and then they will allow it to eat you and me. Right now, they've got to feed it. See, right now, it's possible, perhaps, that we could rise up and force the deportation of the 30 million or so illegals within our borders. But when there's 60, 80, 100 million illegals, it'll be too late. There'll be more of them than there are of us. They're waiting for the tipping point. When there's enough illegal aliens in America and they're all able to vote by having been given driver's license and so forth. When all these aliens are here and there's more of them than us, then they'll be ready for the final coup d'etat. Then the Ponzi scheme will come to an end. I want you to understand, friends, first comes prosperity and then the fall. Even the Bible says that pride goeth before a fall. And Americans are so proud, everything is going our way. Right now, they're building all of the factories and sending all the jobs overseas. And Americans don't mind so much because, after all, there's all these government goodies coming to us. Welfare payments, Social Security payments, military retirement payments. Everybody seems to be soaking in the goodies from Uncle Sam. And everybody seems to have money. And everybody's overcharging everybody else. I mean, get a carpenter to put in a doggy door and he wants $500. Put in a new window, $1,000. It's incredible. The plumber comes out and he spends 5 minutes to fix a pipe and he says, that'll be $380. I've worked so hard on your pipe, sir. He's lying. He didn't do anything. And then he gets $380 from you and he drives in his nice new pickup down to the local tavern and drinks a six pack and goes home drunk, smacks his wife and watches TV. That's what a lot of them do. That's what kind of America we've got. Everybody's cheating everybody. My friends, 10 air conditioning people come out and they'll all tell you 10 different things are wrong with your air conditioner. And they'll all charge you a mint. You'll be lucky if you can get one honest air conditioner repairman. You take your car to 10 garages and all 10 will tell you something different's wrong with it. And 9 out of the 10 will cheat you. And 6 of the 10 will claim they're Christians while they're cheating you. And you know I'm telling you the truth. That's what America has come to. It's turned into a corrupt Ponzi party generation, slacker generation, Peter Pan society. Blue collar people want to work 2 hours a day and make as much money as if they worked 8. And the dentist pulls a tooth and he charges you so much, why, you could have lived like King Henry if you'd have been in England in those days. I'm not even going to tell you names, but I had a toothache, went to the doctor and the dentist, and he comes into the dentist's office. He's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. I says, well, look at you. He says, yeah, my wife and I, we just got back. We were in Hawaii and we stopped over at Fiji and, you know, the guy only works three days a week at the most, maybe one day a week, and he's making $107,000 a year at least. He works on patients wearing his flowery Hawaii beach shirt. And boy, did he ever have a tan. I was talking to a doctor, and the doctor said, I don't like to talk to patients. I get paid by all these insurance companies, these medical insurance companies, and by Medicare and all that. They don't pay me to talk to patients. I get paid the same if I have a patient 30 seconds in my office or 30 minutes. So I get them out of there as soon as I can. Huh? Did you hear what I just told you? The more patients he can see, the more he gets. He gets paid, let's say, $70, $80, $60 for an office visit. And if he can get 30 patients in there in an hour, well, he gets a lot more money than if he got 5 in there. You are just a product. It's like an assembly line to the doctors and the dentist and so forth now. It seems like they, too, are slackers. They want to go out and party. Now, up to now, real estate has created wealth for people. But that day may be ending pretty soon, or will it? I want to warn you right now. Any of these booms can end overnight. You say, oh, I'm making a lot of money in gold right now, Tex. Watch out. Oh, I'm making a lot of money in real estate. Well, maybe you're not saying that anymore, but a lot of people were. People were going out owning one home and buying three or four more at no credit almost because they said, I can make a mint. I can get rich. I don't have to work anymore. I can just make money in real estate. Suddenly it came to a screeching halt. And the bankers are saying, we want our money. And they're stuck. The Ponzi scheme reached its zenith, and now they've got to pay. They've got to pay. Somebody wants their money. It's like we're all sailing on the Titanic, and you never know when it's going to hit the iceberg. The economic downfall of America. Now, I want to tell you right now, they're getting what they want. Why should they ruin a good thing? They're getting what they want. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's sort of like the young woman who came to see me and she says, my boyfriend doesn't want to marry me. I'm brokenhearted. What can I do? And I said, well, how long have you been dating? She says, oh, we're not dating. We're living together. Where does your boyfriend work? Well, she explained it and turns out that she's making a lot more money than him. She pays about 80% of the bills. They're living together. He doesn't want to marry her. She says, I was just raised to believe that you should be married. Really? Well, why are you shacking up with him then? Well, everybody does it now, Brother Tex. Really? Everybody? She said, how can I get him to marry me? I said, well, why should he marry you? You're a slut. I mean, I told her that in a nice way. She's a slut. Why should he marry her? He had everything going. Turns out that the guy only worked a couple days a week. Why did he? He didn't have to work. She worked 5 days a week, 40 hours a week. She was supporting him. He was a slacker. He was driving around his pickup. You know, like that commercial, he was what they call it, a sugar dog daddy, or I don't know what they call him. Goodness. And she wanted to be married. Sluts don't marry. I'm sorry, why should he marry her? He has no morals. Why should he marry her? She had no morals. It's sort of a Ponzi scheme. She's living about the best she's going to, and it's going to come crashing down when he finds somebody else that he likes a little bit better. That, I don't know, whatever thing he will like. Maybe the next girl will be prettier, give him more sex, support him better. Buy him a new pickup. I don't know what the next girl's going to have, but this girl's time is limited with him. She can't get him to marry. Well, of course not. Why should he marry her? He's a slacker, and she's really a slacker, too, except she's working just a little bit harder than he is. And they're partying every day. They're not married. They have no responsibility. I said, well, I sure hope you don't have children. She said, well, I want to, but he doesn't. Well, of course he doesn't. Because under the law, he'd be 50% responsible for the kids. Right now, he's responsible for nothing. She's an enabler of a pimp. Unfortunately, she's the only whore that the guy is pimping. And he's pimping to himself. It's a tragic thing we have going today here in America. Now, what's going to happen? Well, Dell and AMD and Intel and all the other huge corporations are building all these factories overseas. Now, as soon as those factories are finished, and every day a new one's going online, as soon as they're all finished, or most of them, then they can close down all the ones in America because things are so much cheaper. And as soon as they get... Now they have, what, 30, 40 million? We really don't know how many illegal aliens in America. But in 2010, when they have another 15 or 20 million, and in 2017, when they have 100 million illegals in America, then it will be Reconquista. They will own this country. And they'll push you out. Meanwhile, they're building toll roads like crazy in America. You know why? The politicians have sold out. The Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, and all the others, all the rich of the world are rushing into America. They're getting things at bargain basement prices. They're getting your mortgages. Did you know that our Secretary of Treasury, Henry Paulson, 6 months ago, flew over to Red China and practically got down on his knees, from what I understand, and begged them to buy up all of the Treasury bonds of America. Please keep borrowing. Or lending us, I should say, lending us money by buying our treasury bonds. And please bail out our big banks. That's right. That's why Red China is going to get every military secret that we have. They're going to buy them. They're going to buy them. That's what Red China is saying. Well, give us the plans for this bomb. Give us your plans for this nuclear submarine. Give us the plans, the blueprints and all for your best missiles, your best rockets. And we might, just might, save your banking industry. We might. That's one of the things that's going on. But you know, they don't even have to do that. They can just keep printing the money. We really don't need to ask China for anything either. It's an amazing thing right now, friends, but all they have to do is just print more money. You know, that's why several years ago, they built a big new U.S. Mint down in Fort Worth, Texas. It's even got occult-shaped buildings, like pyramids and circles and all kinds of things like that. I passed by there and took a few pictures and looked it over, driving down the freeway there between Fort Worth and Dallas, and there was this Mint, new U.S. Mint. Of course, they've got to get new money, and they got to keep the money going. Now, what's the answer? What can you and I do about this? First of all, friends, don't believe it when somebody says, I can make you rich. Buy gold. Buy land. Buy mortgages. Not true. Not true. Be very, very careful of anybody that promises they can make you rich. You know, it might be a good idea for the first time in our lives to try to save some money. To try to save some money. Wouldn't that be a revelation to people to actually have money in the bank? Now, another thing, remember this. Now, I know they're telling you that even that's going to go under. It's not. If you put money in CDs, get the best interest you can, and make sure they're guaranteed by the federal government, the FDIC, the FSLIC, and the other institutions. Make sure your money is guaranteed by the federal government. You say, well, what if the government runs out of money? It will never run out of money. It prints it. Now, I know you don't believe that, but it's true. They will just give it to you. That's why, you see, right now we're spending. They say over the next 10 years it's possible we might spend $3.6 trillion in the Middle East to fight wars in the Middle East. $3.6 trillion. How are we going to get the money? They're just going to print it. That's the way they do things. They make the money. But as far as you and I, friends, let's just economize a little bit. Let's not depend on them. Don't be a borrower, okay? Depend on God. Keep your mind trained on the spiritual things, on heaven. And I'll tell you, you'll live a lot better. You'll sleep at nights not knowing or not having all of that debt. I promise you that. Don't be part of the Ponzi scheme. Don't listen to the hoaxers. Go about your way. Work hard. Work a good 40 hours a week. Save your money. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. We've been talking about the economic downfall of America, part two. I pray you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.